Homage to the Buddha, the Dhamma, and the Sangha. In today's Dhamma session, we're looking at a very short sutta called the Nikata Sutta. This is in Anguttara Nikaya, Chapter 4, Discourse Number 138. The Buddha says, "Bhikkhus, there are these four kinds of people found existing in the world. What for? 1. One who has gone on retreat by body, but not gone on retreat by mind. 2. One who has not gone on retreat by body, but has gone on retreat by mind. 3. One who has not gone on retreat either by body or by mind. And 4. One who has gone on retreat both by body and mind." Now, what's interesting about this sutta and why we're looking at it is because it looks at different ways that we practice. And really, when we say gone on retreat, it really means when we are disciplined, when we are disciplined either by body or by mind. And the opposite of that, which is when we are undisciplined by body or by mind. And in many ways, when you translate being on retreat, it's when those conditions are conducive. So the conditions for the body are conducive, the conditions for the mind are conducive, that we attend or are restrained towards what is needed for our practice. So there's something around it that may be very useful towards how we approach our practice. The first person that the Buddha talks about is one that has gone on retreat by body, but not by mind. And the Buddha says, "Some person resorts to remote lodgings in forests and jungle groves, but there they think sensual thoughts, thoughts of ill will, and thoughts of harming. It is in this way that a person has gone on retreat by body, but has not gone on retreat by mind." So when you look at this, you look at what is conducive and what is not conducive. So clearly, with the body, the setting is conducive, but the mind is not in a conducive state. So when you're in a forest, you have solitude, you have seclusion. But the problem is when the mind is in such a state of agitation, restlessness, it has the defilements active, then you can't get to mental absorption. It can't settle. It can't find peace. It can't get to jhana. Or when you're on a meditation retreat, so not necessarily in the forest, but you're on a meditation retreat, but the mind is imbued with unwholesome states. So the setting is very conducive. You're in noble silence, for example. But what happens is when the mind is imbued with unwholesome states and you're not actively trying to restrain the mind or abandon those unwholesome states, then this is when you're on retreat by body, but not by mind. So clearly when it comes to physical conditions, they may be conducive, but much more effort is needed to overcome the unwholesome states. So it's like you've gone to the ideal kind of place, but you've taken your problems with you. Sometimes we have this very idealistic notion, if I have perfect setting, whether it's in a monastery or in the forest or some very quiet place, then our practice will come together. But when we get to that ideal setting, that lovely quiet place, we find that we bring our defilements with us. So it's really good to look at leaning on conducive conditions, but maintaining a very unsettled, defiled mind. And so what do you do in that situation? I would say that you need to purify. You need to do a meditation like the Vatupama Sutta. You need to reflect on one's sila and regret anything that is obstructing the practice. Because sometimes what comes to the mind is when we've done unwholesome speech, when we have hurt someone. And so it's really good to admit that and then to clean that up by regretting and to make an intention not to do it again. And so when we find ourselves with conducive physical conditions, we can make the most of them. So abandoning defilements, purifying our conduct, purifying our mind, it's very important because then we won't be troubled at a mental level and we can make the most of that setting. The second person that the Buddha talks about is one who has not gone on retreat by body, but by mind. So the Buddha says, "Some person does not resort to remote lodgings in forests and jungle groves, but they think thoughts of renunciation, thoughts of non-ill will, and thoughts of harmlessness. It is in this way that a person has not gone on retreat by body, but gone on retreat by mind." So in this particular instance, the person is at home or at work or not in physical seclusion. So not in a place that you would readily think that it's conducive, yet despite the lack of physical setting, one that you would assume is conducive, they're able to discipline the mind, that they can think thoughts of renunciation, thoughts of non-ill will, and thoughts of harmlessness. They have the right intention, the right thought. And so from that, they can develop very wholesome states of mind. Clearly, in this particular instance, the person is not overwhelmed by their physical conditions, but they find a way to practice the wholesome. And it's a very good option when it comes to householders, that it saves time not having to travel to a place. It saves time when you create this kind of condition, maybe at home or even at work or in any situation where you really want to practice. You're not waiting for the most idyllic or perfect setting. An example of this is when you come out of a meditation retreat or a period of solitude, and being able to shake off almost like the perfection of being in solitude, the quiet setting, and being able to enter the hustle and bustle without the mind shaking. The idea is that we train for these conditions, whether it's coming out of a quiet setting to a more noisy one, or being able to bear with a noisy one because one's meditation, one's development is very, very strong. And you're leaning on your virtue, you're leaning on your generosity, your virtue, and all the spiritual faculties that are sharpened as you develop the mind. So this is very good when you don't have ideal conditions. And also it's very good when you're not waiting for ideal conditions, that you don't wait or delay, because sometimes what we do is we delay for a very long time, not trying to train when we don't have ideal conditions. So the idea here is to really see, maybe I need to train even in this kind of setting, that one can have, as the Buddha says, this mind that is on retreat, even though physically by body one is not on retreat. And then the third person that the Buddha talks about is when one has gone on retreat neither by body nor by mind. And the Buddha says some person does not resort to remote lodgings in forests and jungle groves, but they think sensual thoughts, thoughts of ill will and thoughts of harming. It is in this way that a person has gone on retreat neither by body nor by mind. So this is one that probably all of us are very familiar with, because we're too busy, we're burdened with duties or responsibilities. And so our physical location is not conducive, and also our mental states are not conducive. They're quite unwholesome. We're caught up in all the problems and defilements that are pervading our life. And so when this is the case, we find that maybe the physical location is impinging on us. It's fueling the mental states and vice versa. And so they're feeding on each other, and we're not being able to discipline our body or our mind. So household life can be very much like this. And it can also be said that at times we don't carve out enough time or physical space for spiritual practice. We become overwhelmed by our conditions. And so this kind of person really needs to make more effort to find even a small space in the house to practice, being able to cleanse the mind of impurities, mental stains, and then to really see the benefit of doing so. Because otherwise these overwhelming conditions make it that you never make much progress on the path, because the physical conditions are not conducive and neither are the mental states. Now, when they're quite dire, sometimes it's good to take a time out. Because when you take a time out, at least you can set some time and space away from these very difficult conditions to try and work on things. The fourth and final person that the Buddha talks about is one who has gone on retreat both by body and by mind. So the Buddha says some person resorts to remote lodgings in forests and jungle groves, and there they think thoughts of renunciation, thoughts of non-ill will, and thoughts of harmlessness. It is in this way that a person has gone on retreat both by body and by mind. So this is almost like the perfection of being able to have conducive conditions at a physical level and having conducive conditions in the mind. So this is when the practice really starts to come together, that you have both the seclusion from sensual pleasures and unwholesome states, both by body and by mind. And so you can see in this kind of scenario, a person can make a lot of progress because everything is in line. And this is a wonderful thing. When you have it, it's really good. So usually you don't immediately get this, even if you go to a monastery as a layperson and start to practice. So usually it takes a few days, if not longer. And then when things start together, we recognize when it is on retreat, both by body and by mind. You start to have very good meditations. You start to be free of the shackles of worldly challenges, worldly existence. And so we know what it can be like for monastics. Now, when monastics are very busy, then they can also be challenged, even having a good setting. But those that go into the forest and are able to be secluded from unwholesome states, then they have the blessing of this, being on retreat both by body and by mind. So this is where most of us do want to get to. This is where most of us who are making progress on the path as lay people, we are looking to retire early, looking to give up so many duties, live a simpler life. Those who are fortunate to have that know the blessing of that, that then you can pick certain conditions for the body and then you can cultivate wholesome mind states. So essentially, this is very wise when you see that what this fourth person is able to do. We can share the merit with all sentient beings. May all beings be happy and well. May all beings be free from suffering. Blessings of the Triple Gem, wishing you well. Teruan Saranai.